Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift that you've given to us of your word, that it truly lights our path, that through it we are both encouraged and challenged. And we pray that for today also. Encourage us and challenge us, Lord, as you will. Help us to grow to be men and women who love you with our whole hearts, who know that we are forgiven of the mistakes that we've made and have opportunity to love once again. We pray that we do that today and always, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 28, found on page 188 of your Pew Bible. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Jesus all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became his servant according to God's commission, that he was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory and this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. Oh, there it is. It's a mouthful. There's a lot there. It's a lot to unpack. I'll start here. This is a quote. Tweet. It's a tweet. It's from Twitter. John Mayer. This was a little while ago, October of 2 years ago. It says this: if you're pretty, you're pretty. But the only way to be beautiful is to be loving. Otherwise, it's just congratulations about your face. Now, you may have heard a similar saying to that. It's, don't judge a book by its cover. How people look does not define their character. Now, 16 years ago, in January 23rd or 26th, I can't remember, in 2003, if you look up that date, it would have been, if I remember correctly, the Saturday right before the Super Bowl. I was with some friends and we were hanging out, and there was a dance floor, and I saw a woman on that dance floor. And she was very beautiful, very, very pretty. But if you know me for any length of time, I am not an outgoing person. Very shy, very quiet, don't have very high self-esteem. So, in short, I didn't go talk to her. I couldn't. But apparently, she noticed the guy staring at her and came over and talked to me. I don't know if she was creeped out by me or whatever, but she was very, very nice. And it was the first time that I ever got a woman's telephone number. I didn't know what to do with it. I had heard that there's a 3-day waiting period for when you receive a telephone number from a woman. That's what I knew back then in 2003. And I was talking to my friend about it at the time, and he said, no, there's no waiting period. Call her right away. So I did. I called her at 2 o'clock in the morning. I called her. And 5-6 months later, we got married. We've been married now for 16 years, and she is easily, by far, more beautiful now than the day I met her. I love her to pieces, and because I've got to know who she is. But I'm constantly surprised by the fact, and maybe some of you know this fact a little better than I do, that no matter how long you've been together with a particular person, they always end up surprising you some way, somehow. You think you know everything, but you don't. Not always. They do something that just changes how you look at them. And sometimes, honestly, for better or for worse, but you don't always know someone as well as you think you do. And I find that with her. I love that about her. It's one thing I love about marriage, getting to know a person more and more and more each day. Paul was talking to the Colossians about Jesus. Now they know all about Jesus. I mean, they know that Jesus is a Jewish man who is also the Son of God, who died on a cross for their sins. And they, because they believe in him, they have redemption from their sins and a promise of life everlasting. That's a pretty decent, quick, fair representation of Christ. Now, Paul goes on to say, you think you know Jesus, but there's a lot more. He says, yes, all that is true. You know this about Jesus, but Jesus is also the firstborn among the dead. Jesus is also the one whom all creation was created through. Jesus has within him the fullness of God. You are created in the image of Christ. Jesus is the not only created all things, but holds all things together within his very being. Jesus is so much bigger than what any of you realize. Sometimes we have a very narrow image of a person, of anything. And we judge them based just on that very sliver of a thing. Mount Everest is a very beautiful mountain. Majestic, enormous, huge. I mean, I've never been there. I've just seen pictures. And it looks breathtaking. But have you ever seen the pictures of the mountain range of which Mount Everest is part of? Holy moly. It is fantastic. I mean, Mount Everest is enormous, of course. It's the largest mountain in the world. But you put that with the rest of the peaks that surround it and that it's a part of, it is utterly breathtaking. I can't imagine the beauty. I mean, I would love to see it, even if just for a moment, the entire mountain range. It's amazing when you step back at something, how beautiful, more beautiful it can become. You ever go to an art gallery, stand at a painting half an inch from it? Some of them you just see dots, brush strokes, little flecks of color here and there. It's not until you step back and you see the whole that you see it in its entire beauty. We have a habit in this nation of judging people based upon a sliver, a moment of their lives, based upon something they've said, based upon something they did in just a moment. And we think we know them completely. Paul's challenging the Colossians and saying, you don't know Jesus. Jesus is so far bigger than what we can ever realize. And in knowing that, Jesus becomes so much more wonderful. But also, there's a lot more responsibility that comes with the knowledge of just how big Christ is. Take church for example. Are we the church? Are we the church? No. We're not the church. I know, I do that. Pastors do that. It's fine. You ask easy questions and think you know the answer, but you don't. We're not the church. We're part of the church. We're not the church. We're not the body of Christ. We're just a small part of the body of Christ. We got part of the body of Christ that's worshiping up at St. Regis. We got part of the body of Christ that's worshiping down here on Britton Avenue. We got a part of the body of Christ that's worshiping up in Harrison City. We are all part of the body of Christ. We are not the entire picture. We're part of the picture. We have our part to play. We have our part in the painting. We're a necessary part, but we're just the part. Now, when we think about church, what do we think about? We got worship. We got Bible study. We got council meetings. We got SPRC meetings. We got to pay the bills. We got a roof that's going to need fixed here before too long. We got, what else? Kids, we got adults, we got young, we got old, we got rich, we got poor, we got a lot of little things. But that's not the whole story. I've told this to you before in many ways that my favorite initials on the internet is TLDR. TLDR, when you're reading a blog, have you read a blog and seen the initials TLDR at the bottom of it? Now, some people who write blogs really enjoy writing, and I love their passion for that. But the blogs end up being, so long. I just want to spend a few moments, that's all. And if you go down to the end of some blogs, they have the initials TLDR, and they have bullet points, or they have just another paragraph. TLDR stands for Too Long, Didn't Read. So if you don't want to read it, you just go to the TLDR section, and it'll give you bullet points of what it is they wrote. And sometimes we feel like that's enough. The TLDR of church is basically this: Sunday morning. Too long, didn't read. If you want to know what church is about, according to most people, it's this. But if we're just a part of the body of Christ, and Jesus is the fullness of God, and the creator of the world, and holds all things together within himself, then church is so much more than just about Sunday morning. Church has consequences that go far beyond 12:15. Church has within itself consequences that go for all eternity. We have a much greater responsibility than just coming in on Sunday, worshiping God, and going home. I know we know that because we've talked about this a lot. And I know we know that because I know you. And I know how you live. And your love is far beyond than just the pews in this building. Love goes more than that. And so, as members of the church, the body of Christ, we have responsibility for the lives and loving those lives of all whom we encounter. We have the responsibility to show people what it means to be Christian. We have the responsibility to show people what it means to be loved regardless of what they've done, who they are, what we've done, who we are. We have the responsibility for the eternity of another person's life. Now that's big. And that might be saying a lot. How we live matters, because why? The church is watching, or the world's watching the church. The world wants to know, what does love mean? And the church says, we love you, and so they're watching us because we claim to have the answers. How we live matters. It matters greatly. What we do matters. Matters greatly. Okay, so I hope I've bummed you out. I hope that I've given you a lot of responsibility, because we have that responsibility. But as Paul said in Colossians, that's not the end of the story. Jesus has all this power, all this might, holds the world together, created all of creation. For what purpose? In order to redeem creation. In order to love creation. In order to walk with creation. In order to bring creation into God's self. And so we have all this responsibility in order to love, in order to live in a way that matters. We have help. Christ does not leave us to do that by ourselves. Jesus gives us the strength to be able to put one foot in front of the other, even to pick us up when we fall down, to forgive us when we make mistakes, to allow us to continue to move forward in the body, to never say the words, I disown you, I have forsaken you, I hate you, but I love you, I cherish you, I desire you, and I will always be with you for all eternity. And I will help you from this point on and from the next point on. And so I pray that as we start to feel overwhelmed with the responsibility that Christ has given to us, that we're able to know that we walk with Christ, who has created all, who holds all together, and who helps us see through one moment at a time. I pray that through Christ we love well, we live well, and we worship Christ with the way we live. And I thank Christ for that.